Okay, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13. I believe it's verse number 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ahastani Sahastanam Apadani Chaturspadam Faguni Tatra Mahatam Jivo Jivasya Jivanam Ahastani Sahastanam Apadani Chaturspadam Vaguni Tatra Mahatam Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. Someone could chant. For word. Ahastani. Those who are devoid of hands. Sahastanam. Of those who are endowed with hands. Apadani. Those who are devoid of legs. Chaturpadam. Of those who have four legs. Faguni, those who are weak. Tatra, there. Mahatam, of the powerful. Jivaha, the living being. Jivasya, of the living being. Jivanam, subsistence. Translation. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, And the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. A systematic law of subsistence in the struggle for existence is there by the supreme will, and there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning. The living beings who have come to the material world against the will of the supreme being are under the control of a supreme power called Maya Shakti. The deputed agent of the Lord, and this Daiva Maya is meant to pinch the conditioned souls by threefold miseries. One of which is explained here in this verse. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. No one is strong enough to protect himself from the onslaught of a stronger. And by the will of the Lord, there are systematic categories of the weak, the stronger and the strongest. There is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal, including a man, because that is a law of the Supreme Lord. But although that law states that a human being must subsist on other living being, on another living being, there is the law of good sense also. For the human being is meant to obey the laws of the scriptures. This is impossible for other animals. The human being is meant for self-realization. And for that purpose, he is not to eat anything which is not first offered to the Lord. The Lord accepts from his devotees all kinds of food preparations made of vegetables, fruits, leaves, and grains. Fruits, leaves, and milk in different varieties can be offered to the Lord, and after the Lord accepts the foodstuff, the devotee can partake of the prasada, by which all sufferings in the struggle for existence will be gradually mitigated. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Even those who are accustomed to eat animals can offer foodstuff, not to the Lord directly, but to an agent of the Lord under certain conditions of religious rites. Injunctions of the scriptures are meant not to encourage the eaters of animals, but to restrict them by regulated principles. The living being is the source of subsistence for other stronger living beings. No one should be very anxious for his subsistence in any conditions, because there are living beings everywhere, and no living being starves for want of food at any place. Maharaj Yudhisthira is advised by Narada not to worry about his uncle's suffering for want of food, for they could live on vegetables available in the jungles as prasada of the Supreme Lord, and thus realize the path of salvation. Exploitation of the weaker living being by the stronger is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of the living of the human being by the practice of spiritual regulations. The spiritual regulated principles, however, do not allow a man to slaughter weaker animals on one side and teach others peaceful coexistence. If a man does not allow the animals peaceful coexistence, how can he expect peaceful existence in human society? The blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being and then tried to implement the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or Rama Raja, is impossible without the awakening of God consciousness in the mass mind of the people of the world.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Praskacha Deshatarne.
So here is mentions that the blind leaders, they have to, as Srila Prabhupada, he mentions, that the blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being and try to implement the kingdom of God. So this is possible, the mass benefit is, this is the mass minds of the people. Lord Chaitanya wanted this. He said, para upakara, spread this Krishna consciousness to the masses throughout the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions this as the perfect system in Vedic society is a system of Varnashrama. He mentions that what we are doing now is on a small scale. How many people are we actually controlling? But if we want to implement Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world on a large scale, then we have to introduce it according to Krishna's instruction. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sve Sve Kamanya Birata Sam Siddhim Labhate Nara. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. So by implementing this Varnashrama in the world, then people could very easily take up Krishna consciousness. So now we are picking up some of the best, but that is another thing. But why shouldn't the whole world get the benefit out of it? So therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions this Varnashrama as we should implement this. It should be done perfectly. People will become happy, and it is possible. So in this purport, Prabhupada mentions about Rama Raja. So people sometimes they even establish various political parties called Rama Raja, but they're not interested in Ram. They simply want the kingdom of God without God. So this is a problem. But during Ramachandra's appearance millions of years ago, as we read in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the people were so, under the guidance of the government of Lord Ramachandra, things were so nice and the people were so religious and happy that it was like Satya Yuga, even though it was Treta Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in that regard in the purport that there are four ages, Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga, of which Kali Yuga is the worst. But by introducing Varnashrama, then Satya Yuga could be invoked. And he mentions there that the Krishna conscious movement or the Hare Krishna movement is meant for this purpose. So Krishna created this Varnashrama. It's mentioned in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 13. Chatur Vaya Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. The four divisions of human society are created by me. So there are different categories. Chatur means four, and Varnya means divisions of society or color. So these are natural in society because in the material world, everyone is influenced by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So it's natural for them to act in a certain way. And in the system of Varnashrama, there's actually eight divisions, including the Varnas and the Ashrams. So the Brahmanas are the mode of goodness. They're the natural teachers and the priests of society. And there's the Kshatriyas. They're the administrators and the warriors. And the Vaishyas, they're the businessmen and the agriculturists. And the Sudras are the laborer class. So these different divisions also have different orders of life, different ashrams. So the brahmanas, they have all four. Brahmachari, student life, grihastha, householder life, vanaprastha, retired life, and sannyas, renounced life. So they have all four. The kshatriyas, they just have three, brahmacharya, grihastha, and vanaprastha, just like we see here in this chapter of Dhritarashtra. He left home. He took vanaprastha. It isn't mentioned he took sannyas. He left with his wife. The wife stays with one during when one takes vanaprastha. But if one takes sannyas, then the wife, she doesn't stay with her husband. She goes back home like that. So he took up to vanaprastha. Also, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he also took up to vanaprastha. And then the Vaishyas, they just have brahmacharya and grihastha, and the Sudras, they simply have grihastha or householder life. So they are in different categories of the modes of material nature. Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion. The Vaishyas in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the Sudras are in the mode of ignorance. So this is different varnas are compared to different levels. Just like in a university, you have the postgraduates and you have the freshmen, and there's different categories in between. So those who are the postgraduates, they can be compared to the brahmanas, and there's less of them. Whereas the freshmen, which are compared to the sudras, they're the greatest category. So Krishna created this varnashrama to elevate us out of the clutches of Maya. So this is his mercy to us to elevate human society to become Krishna conscious. And varnashrama is compared to the sun. Krishna also, he creates the sun, which is not the monopoly of anyone. The sun is available to everyone, to be enjoyed by everyone. But sometimes it is bright in one place and not very bright in another place. Just like it's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions, like in India, it's very much there's sunshine there. But when the foreigners came to India, they appreciated when they came to the Arabian Sea. Oh, it's so much sunshine here. So even though the sun is available everywhere. Sometimes it's not available because of the the cast of clouds. So it's mentioned in scripture that when there's no sunshine, when there's too many clouds, and that's a condemned civilization. So Krishna is there, this Varnashrama is there, but sometimes because one is fortunate to get it because of intelligence or by their good fortune. So, although we see these different varnas there in societies, the problem is they're not very scientifically situated. Therefore, we find even though somebody may be of a higher caste, you know, in the sense that, well, he's a teacher or they're a soldier, something like that, they're engaged in very degraded activity. They may be a professor in a university. They may be very astute in studying and they have big brains and like they could teach so many things. But we look at their personal life and they're very much engaged in various sinful activities. There's no question of austerity or mind control or sense control, which are the actual qualities of a brahmana. So this has to be there in society. We can't artificially think... say it's all one, doesn't matter, wouldn't the class of society, like the communists, they say, you know, it's all one, you know, we're all the same. No, there's different categories. You can't artificially say it's all one. The only time you can say it's all one is when you transcend the modes of material nature, and then everybody is on the same platform. So this Varnashrama is bent for worship of Vishnu. Aradhana. So this worship of Vishnu, this is the purpose of Varnashrama. And we find this in Vedic culture. So it's worship of Vishnu, not that we concoct some bogus philosophy like God is everywhere, therefore everyone is God, therefore let me worship everyone. This is the philosophy of Narayan is poor, poor Narayan. So this is a concocted philosophy. But the proper understanding is, as Krishna says, Prabhupada mentions this in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna says that it's better to worship my devotee than to worship me personally. And we find this in connection with Nanda Maharaj. When Krishna was born, he celebrated his son's appearance by giving in charity to the other cowherd men and the other various devotees in other professions, because he understood that by worship of Vishnu also means worshiping his devotees, satisfying his devotees. So this way, in a roundabout way, he was worshiping Vishnu. So the different members of society, by cooperating together, then society will be able to go on very nicely. And it doesn't matter what one does. If one serves Krishna, together with other devotees, no matter what one's profession is, then there will be complete peace in the world. This is Varnashram is known as a cooperative combination. So if we cooperate in Krishna consciousness, then there'll be no strife. But we see presently in the world, there's constant strife, dissatisfaction, and friction between the capitalists and the communists. There's always some strike going on because there's no Krishna consciousness and there's no center. Just like if you throw some pebbles in the water, in a pond of water, all the ripples will go out from the center. But if you throw a pebble here and a pebble there, then there'll be conflict. The ripples will conflict with each other. So in this way, the different parts of society have to cooperate together. In this way, things will go on very nicely. So these different parts have been compared to the different parts of the body. There's the head, which is compared to the brahmanas, the arms, which are the kshatriyas, the belly, which is the vaishyas, and the legs or the feet are compared to the sudras. So without these four, this body will be a society, or this body will be chaotic, or it will be a dead body. So we have to work together, and Srila Prabhupada also gives an example about Varnashrama in terms of the stomach. Like all the parts of the body have to take care of the stomach. The mouth has to, the hands like gather the food, and they cook, and the food, and the mouth has to chew. In this way, they satisfy the stomach. In this way, all the parts of the body are able to stay strong. But if they don't cooperate, then the body becomes weak and feeble. So this cooperation is needed. And although the different parts of the body, like the head, for example, is considered the most important part, still, it's not that the other parts are neglected. Like if we neglect the leg, if I have an infection on my leg, I don't neglect it, because my brain will be taxed how to take care of my leg. So in this way, all the parts of the body have to be taken care of. So all the parts are required. But since the head is the most important part, if there's no head, then even though you have all the other parts, it's a dead body. it's dead or it's crazy. Just like if you're a man who is crazy, he doesn't understand what's he to do, so the other parts of the body can't function properly. But even though the other parts of the body aren't there, like somebody may have no arms or legs, but still he could think, he could do things. So in this way, the head is the most important. And the head has to be taken care of, even though it may be very costly. So Srila Prabhupada also gives this the example given of half-hen logic, that one has to feed, like the chicken. You have a chicken and you want to get eggs from the chicken. So if you're thinking that to feed the hen is so expensive, I like the eggs, but I don't like feeding the chicken, so let me cut the head off. But if you do that, then you won't get anything. So in this way, the Brahmins have to be taken care of in society. So Krishna says, guna karma vibhagashaha, by quality and work. He doesn't say by birth. He doesn't say, I'm born in a Brahmana family, therefore I'm a Brahmana. No, by quality and work. Just like one who's the lawyer. So two things are required to become a lawyer. He has to go to law school and graduate, and he has to work as a lawyer. Otherwise, nobody will approach him as a lawyer. You may go to law school, you may go to medical school, but if you don't actually practice what you've learned, then you're not considered a doctor or a lawyer. So these things are required. If one's a Brahmana, not only has he have the qualities of a Brahmana, but he has to act like a Brahmana. So by quality and work, not by birth. So sometimes we see in society, especially in India, somebody says, well, I'm a Brahmana because I was born in a Brahmana family, you know. So, you know, even though they may do all sorts of nonsense, you know, they may even smell like they've been drinking. They think they're a Brahmana, but this is not the position of a Brahmana. He's by his activities, and it's not by birth. Or sometimes it is stated that the different varnas are according to different colors. So if you're a different color, then you're this caste or that caste. But this argument, you can't take this argument. This may give you some indication, but the ultimate qualification is the quality in the work. Just like stated in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Srila Vyasadeva was blackish. But even though he was blackish, he was in the highest realm of the mode of goodness, beyond the three modes of material nature. Whereas a duck is very white, but he's in the mode of ignorance. So simply, oh, he's white, he's black, therefore he's this or that, this is all nonsense. This has actually destroyed the Vedic culture. But one who is even born in a low family, it's mentioned in the scriptures that even though one is born in a family of dog eaters, if he becomes a devotee of a lord, then he is considered even greater than a Brahmana. So Krishna comes to establish the perfect social order, and for this, he establishes, or he comes to protect the cows and the brahmanas. Because without the cows and the brahmanas, there's no question of human civilization. So this is very important in Varnashrama, that the cows and the brahmins are taken care of very nicely. And the brahmanas are the general teacher class. They can learn anything and teach anything. So in this way, just like Dronacharya, he was a teacher of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So he learned the military science, and he also taught the military science. So in this way, he was a Brahmana.
And so there are also the qualities of a brahmana. Not only he works as a brahmana and teaches as a brahmana, but he has various qualities. He has he controls the mind and he controls the senses. He is very neat and clean. He rises early in the morning, attends Mangal Artik. He takes bath at least 3 times a day. And these different, the brahmana and various other aspects of Vedic culture are in the, it's described that the body of Lord Vishnu has the different bodily parts of Lord Vishnu are the brahmanas, the cows, Vedic knowledge, austerity, sense control, mind control, faith, truthfulness, sacrifice, mercy, and tolerance. So we could see that most of these qualities, they're the different bodily parts of Lord Vishnu, are the qualities of the brahmanas. They have faith in the Vedic knowledge. They have, of course, mind and sense control. They are truthful. They engage in sacrifice. They are tolerant and they are merciful. They give this knowledge to all living entities. And the blessings of such brahmanas never go in vain. Just like when Krishna's birth ceremony was there, Nanda Maharaj, he wanted the blessings of the brahmanas. Not the caste brahmanas, but real brahmanas. So the real brahmanas are those who are freed from unnecessary pride and false prestige, untruthfulness, grudges. They're not disturbed by the opulences of others, and they're not envious. So such blessings of the brahmanas, they never go in vain. Not that I know Sanskrit, I know so many mantras, but as far as my personal life, it's very much degraded. Such brahmanas can't give actual blessings to the people in general. So the brahmanas have to be there, and the kshatriyas have to be there. These specific two castes, our classes of society, are especially absent in this age of Kali. Are the brahmanas and the kshatriyas. We find mostly in society that there's a few vaishyas and mostly sudras. But specifically, these two classes, the brahmanas and kshatriyas, are specifically absent. So the kshatriyas are there to protect others from injury. They're compared to the arms. So when there's some danger, we spread our arms. So in this way, the kshatriyas compare to the arms. And the kshatriyas, they're very powerful. When they go to the battlefield, they're victorious, or they will lay down their life. Therefore, they're in charge of the government. Not that they simply get votes and they're elected to the governmental post. This is not a real kshatriya. Just like Srila Prabhupada mentioned, even George Washington, that he was a soldier like that. So this is required that the government actually is a kshatriya. He fights on the battlefield. But instead of such kshatriyas in society, we found simply a bunch of degraded mlechas and yavanas. Who are uncivilized, they do not care for anyone. They do not control their senses. They kill brahmanas, children, women, old men, cows, simply for their sense gratification. They do not care for anyone. And especially nowadays, we find that the kshatriyas, the people in general they're unrestrictedly killing the cows and the children. So such a society is not at all human, and those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized asuras or demons. So the beginning of human civilization begins with Varnashrama. Otherwise, it's simply a society of cats and dogs. So Srila Prabhupada mentions how we are creating some brahmanas in order, or some brains for society. In this way, they have knowledge of God, and they, with the God in view, they teach others about God. In this way, they can elevate society. Otherwise, society is simply a society of cats and dogs. They do not know what is God. They simply fight with one another. Just like the United Nations, they're constantly fighting all the time because they are simply a bunch of cats and dogs. If you get a bunch of cats and dogs together, you can't expect there'll be any peace. They'll simply fight with one another. Just like if you get a dog and you put it on a throne, and he may seem very nice, and he may look like a king, but as soon as you throw a shoe, then he'll jump off his throne and go for the shoe. Or the example is given of a jackal. Once a jackal fell in a vat of blue dye, and he went to the forest, and all the other animals thought he was, they didn't know who he was. They'd never seen such an animal before. And they asked who he was, and he said he was God, or he was their leader, going to lead them like that. So in this way, they were worshiping him as God, as a leader. But then once he heard the other jackals howling, so he couldn't control himself, and he had to howl also. So the other animals could understand, actually, he's not God, he's a cheater. So this is the situation in society. They're simply cheaters, simply cats and dogs. So Varnashrama has to be there, otherwise it's simply a hellish situation, society. But because of the influence of Kali Yuga, it said is Kalo Suja Sambhava, everyone in this age is a Sudra or less than a Sudra. Simply cat and dog society. They perform no samskaras, therefore they're Sudras. And because they have no independence, they're also Sudras. Those who are twice born, the Brahmanas, Vaishyas, and Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they don't work for a salary. They are independent. But the Sudras, unless they get a salary, they cannot live. So the devotees are beyond Varnashrama. They have nothing to do with it. But to show others, they engage in Varnashrama. But Srila Prabhupada, as a devotee, he's very humble. He said that how a devotee, a Vaishnava, is beyond Varnashrama. But he said, I don't claim to be a perfect Vaishnava. I'm not so impudent. So this is how a devotee thinks. He thinks himself a humble servant of the Lord. He doesn't consider himself great. In fact, that's a sign of a great devotee. He thinks himself not so significant at all. So Srila Prabhupada says, we have so many things to do, and this Varnashrama is one of the programs. So this Varnashrama is there to give the facility to others to become Krishna conscious, so therefore we must do it. So whatever talents we have to engage those talents in glorifying the Supreme Lord. It doesn't matter what they are. And if we do that, we attain perfection. It doesn't matter, you know, I'm working like I have an ordinary job, or I'm working as a laborer, or a farmer, or kshatriya, or brahmin, that doesn't matter. But if one utilizes talents in glorifying the Supreme Lord, then one attains perfection. Otherwise, one's qualities are compared to the decoration of a dead body, simply useless. So this Varnashrama, the Acharyas, they explain how important it is. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about what his spiritual master said about Varnashrama. Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said that he wanted to, that Varnashrama should be reintroduced, Daivi Varnashrama should be reintroduced within society all over the world. And he said that this may be astonishing to foolish critics, but it is one of the functions of a Krishna consciousness society. And Srila Prabhupada also said on about a month before he passed away on the 8th of October, 1977, he said, I wanted to introduce this Varnashrama. Now I have given you the ideas, it is possible, and by this, and all of you are intelligent. So we could stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Okay, yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the nice lecture. And my question was like, based on the quality, people are segregated, right? So it's like the process of elevating from Sudra to Brahmana. So the process of elevating from Sudra to Brahmana, like how it will be done? Can you please explain?
What? I can't. What did you say?
The process of moving from... Yeah.
How do you elevate yourself from a sudra to a Brahmin?
Yeah.
It's simply by engaging in... Well, anyway, like I said, it's not necessary. One should artificially... Like Prabhupada mentioned, he mentioned this on a morning walk, how one shouldn't artificially try to do this and thus become degraded. It's not necessary that you have to become, like, take sannyas and become degraded. He mentioned that he had one of his disciples, he took sannyas, and then he admitted that he was attached to five women. So it's better not to... one has to be honest with oneself and see what position one's in. But it doesn't matter if one's a kshatriya, a vaishya, a sudra. Simply one has to serve Krishna. And, of course, you know... It's not that, you know, of course one should accept a spiritual master and follow the regulative principles. There's four basic principles we follow. But if one thinks, well, you know, I'm just a laborer and I'm just washing dishes for Krishna, or I'm just a carpenter, or I'm an artist or a musician, these are all, you know, sudra occupations. But if one uses those talents to glorify Krishna, then there's nothing wrong with that. And so it's by one's qualities, and if one manifests those qualities, then one should be accepted. You know, just like Karna, although he was born in appeared to be born in a family of sudras, he was known as a kshatriya because of his qualities. So if one manifests those qualities, then one can be accepted as such. That's the main thing, like that. Okay. Anything else? Okay, we can stop there. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Jai Rabindranath Prabhu ki.